Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Q-List, How I Met Your Mother edition. I'm Logan Corkins, and of course, this season I am going to be joined today, as I've been, as I will be all season long, by Josh Finn.
Hey, thanks for having me. We're really broing out over here.
We've been broing out. I mean, we were like, hey, we're going to record it too. You know, 2:40, we're like, hey, you know what? Now we're going to start recording.
We should probably get started at some point.
We should probably do a show at some point. I mean, this is how magic happens, man. I can't tell you how many times, like, especially like this week, it's been like last night I was recording the show, and I think we did like an hour before we actually hit the record button.
Those are the best shows, man.
Speaking of the best shows, How I Met Your Mother, we recap season one on the very first episode. If you missed that, go back on Spotify, check it out. It's just, you know, the episode right below this one, so just click it, hit it, love it. I think we do a great job of breaking down everything that happens in season one, but let's talk about season two and where were we. If you didn't know, at the end of season one, we finally get Robin and Ted together. Robin has been kind of, she got grounded for the weekend because Ted made it rain. Ted stood outside and proclaimed his love for her. She finally reciprocated those feelings. And while Ted was off having one of the best nights of his life, Marshall was having one of the worst of his, as Lily told Marshall that she wanted to discover who she was outside of the relationship and decided to take an art fellowship in San Francisco. Ted arrives back at the apartment to see Marshall crying on the stairs, and this is where we kick off season two. Where Were We was released on September 18, 2006. It was written by Carter Bays, Craig Thomas. It is the first episode of season two. Season two, we get a lot of big things. The big overall theme is Marshall and Lily. They're a pretty big key. And then Ted and Robin. We're going to talk about how these two different relationships played out throughout the season. But first, let's tell you about some of the new cast members we get this season. The special guest. We got a few really great special guests. He was in three episodes on this one. Joe Manganiello as Brad.
Oh, God.
We're talking about the Brunch Bros. We get David Birkebeck as Scooter for another episode. And he's hilarious in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Brady is coming in as James Stimson.
One of the great recurring characters.
One of the best. Emmett Smith as himself. Bob Barker as himself. Lucy Hale as Katie Scherbatsky, Robin's little sister. And I totally did not realize that was Lucy Hale, because like when she comes back in season nine, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it's totally Lucy Hale.
It's so jarring to see her like 7 years earlier, though. But like, you know who I always forget is in this season, though, until I do the rewatch? Bryan Cranston.
He is in this season, yeah.
Him and Druthers. It's so great. This is a weird thing because
he was working on Breaking Bad at the same time.
Yeah, he literally had just started Breaking Bad, and it's so funny. And then they bring him back later on, I believe, for another episode down the line.
They bring him back in season nine.
Yeah.
For two episodes, two moments. Or no, season eight and then season nine. And then who's the other one? He plays Saul in Breaking Bad.
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, we get the first of his many appearances as Arthur Hobbs.
Arthur Hobbs, yeah. A lot of big names in this season. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week, but season one, like, was this unexpected hit.
Right.
That no one really saw coming. So How I Met Your Mother and The Office debuted at roughly the same time. And both went on to go have their impact in culture in different ways. Like The Office, of course, is still memed and this and that. But you can't really talk about pop culture of the 2000s without talking about both of these shows. I'd argue these and Parks and Rec are probably the most influential sitcoms of like that 10-15 year stretch.
So, The Office is the number one most replayed show of all time. Friends is a close second. How I Met Your Mother is fourth on that list.
Okay.
Crazy, though. Absolutely crazy.
Crazy. They added to an already really, really solid five, arguably six main cast members, if you include Bob Saget in that.
Well, and they were smart, though, too, because right as season one was kicking off, that was when Big Bang Theory was also... Or no, season two was the first season of Big Bang Theory. And they knew that they... On the same network. And they knew that they had something in Big Bang Theory, so they gave Big Bang Theory the primetime spot and had How I Met Your Mother come on half an hour before. And yet it still worked. I believe season three is actually the highest rating-wise season. It might be season four. I'll check that out. But season two did solid ratings.
Season two begins the golden era of the show for me. It's season two through, I would say, probably through most of five. I think the end of five was when you can pretty solidly say, okay, the golden era is probably over. Even though I really like six, personally. Six is a lot more up and down than the previous seasons, and then we all know how I feel about the ending.
I love season eight. Season 8 is a lot of reflection.
I'm excited to get to it on my rewatch. I'm currently on my rewatch. I'm on season 6 right now.
Nice.
And it's reminding me just, oh God, some of these episodes are a slog, even though they're only 20 minutes.
All right, where were we? Okay, so Marshall is on the stairs crying. And I love the opening voiceover that Bob Saget has for this season where he goes, you know, we find out whether love is ending or it's beginning. They kind of look like the same. You know, you spend a lot of time in bed. You hardly ever sleep. And
your friends can't stand to hear from you.
You can't. Yeah, your friends can't stand to be around you. It's a great opening monologue because it's 100% sure. You know, when you're in that new relationship feeling, you know, you're having sex a lot. You're just, oh, my God, this person's the greatest. I haven't found a flaw yet.
And your friends hate you for it.
Oh, they royally hate you. You lose a lot of friends that week. It's crazy.
They just stop talking to you for about 30 days. I think of all the season openers, this may be the strongest one.
Oh, for sure.
It does it without one of the main cast members.
Really without two, though? Because, I mean, yeah, Barney's in there a little bit, but not much.
And Barney does have what I think is one of the great cold opens of the show, though. When they get back up to the apartment, Ted's comforting Marshall and, you know, Barney immediately comes, you know, Robin shows up and then Barney comes in, like Ted's motioning to Robin, like, don't tell Marshall that we're together. And Barney is so excited that the three of them are single for the first time ever.
The first time ever. Yep.
We will own the city. When bachelorette parties drive through New York, sticking their heads out the window, screaming, "What's up, New York? We will be what is up, New York." And then he realizes that Ted and Robin are together. And it just cuts straight to the theme song. It's the first cold open of the show. Up until this point, the show has always started with the theme song. We've never had a cold open.
And it's a great cold open to do it with. I mean, honestly, it's so freaking well-rounded.
It cuts the tension so quickly because, like, you're sad and everything else. And, like, the audience knows that Ted and Robin are together. But Marshall and Barney don't. And then just seeing that, it's hilarious. Everything that we learn about these characters, though, in this episode, like, it's a little, like, Ted likes baseball. Robin has I was going to say gun fetish, but that sounds weird. She's a gun aficionado. Barney, we already know, really likes to go to the Lusty Leopard. Like, it establishes these things permanently in these characters, though. And especially, I always think about Marshall throwing the hot dog at the couple that are getting engaged.
At Yankee Stadium. Yeah, they're at Yankee Stadium.
At Yankee Stadium. Yep.
I love that. I love that whole opening thing. I mean, it's really, really good. And especially, like, it made sense to do a cold open in this one because of how we left it. Where, you know, we just see Jason Segel just losing it on the staircase. Like, again, we talk about how brilliant of an actor he is when the show needs him to be sad and downright just out of it. Like, he's really, really great at it. I love this opening episode because it does establish that, like, kind of emotional balance of Marshall is wrecked. And then he starts to feel a little bit of hope when he sees Lily's credit card bill. And then, Lily's back in New York. There's another great moment there, too, where Marshall goes, "Well, I called her, and apparently she's changed her phone number. And she's nothing like the other Lily Aldridge. Like all the other Lily Aldrins are much nicer. Based on the brief conversations that I've had with him, and like Robin's in the shower with Ted, and she goes, "Does he know that I've been here?" He's like, "Oh yeah, hey Robin, how's it going?"
But she's like, "Ted, we agreed not to move too fast, but somehow we already have a baby. He slept on our floor last night.
He had a scary bad movie."
Have
you tried breastfeeding?
It's so fun. There's so many great lines in this episode. It's just, it's one of those that, like, it immediately sets the tempo for what's going to come really in the first third almost half of the season, because it sets in motion that plot line, like, okay, yeah, Marshall's doing these things to get over, you know, it covers the entire summer, covers over 2 months, and it took more than 2 months and one really disgusting batch of pancakes, but Marshall had returned from the dead. And what is, like, at the very end, you see them all, you see the four of them sitting in McLaren's, drinking, laughing, having a good time, and Lily walks down the stairs and almost walks in. And you just thank God in that brief moment, as much as you want Allison Hannigan to be part of the main cast again, you're like, oh, thank God she didn't walk in and ruin this in this particular moment. Let her show up in the next episode.
I do think, though, too, like, this is a really good testament to, like, we talked about in the last episode how, you know, Lily is Marshall's world. Like, mm-hmm. That's the only girl he's ever been with. That's, you know, he talks about how his list of girls they slept with is his marriage certificate. Like, he was completely in love with her, and just for her to just throw him aside without inviting him to San Francisco with her or doing anything, you know, to see him be able to bounce back is just this great moment of, like, sweet, he's going to be great. The other thing that it does is really show that the cast can carry the show without Hannigan, because she's going to leave here in season, like, 4 to go have a kid. And honestly, like, they do a pretty good job managing without her.
I mean, I think it's fantastic. But this really is one of the first instances where we get where you can be without a member of the main cast and the show still functions perfectly normal. Like, it's still a compelling plot. It's funny. It's emotional. It's all the things that you expect from How I Met Your Mother. And this, in a way, is a blueprint for a lot of the smaller, like, 2 or 3 pairings that we see throughout the rest of the run of the show. Like, we talked last episode how a lot of the time, if you broke them off, it was like Ted and Robin, or it was Marshall and Lily. There really wasn't, like, Marshall and Barney, or Robin and Marshall. Like, this is really the first time I think that we see her and Marshall interact one-on-one. And even the Ted and Marshall friendship. I like it too. And it's funny because they make fun of this way down the line, like season 6, when they go out to dinner in the Mermaid Theory. About how, well, you two never do anything together. And it's so true if you think back to, like, yeah, there's really not a lot of instances. And even after that, there's not a lot. It's whenever they do, though, it's a significant moment to move the plot forward, such as him telling Robin she needs to move out of the apartment to give Ted space.
Oh, dude.
I think it's like one of the more heart-wrenching moments of the series.
But then, too, like, when he takes her to his Minnesota bar and and, like, Fisherman's Quest and doing all that stuff. It's really
cool. Like,
go Vikes!
Oh,
well,
I feel
man.
Dirty saying
that. Damn. NFC Championship? Yep. Damn. So we have Where Were We? But then we also have the Scorpion and Toad, which I think kind of coincides with this episode, too. Like,
I consider it like a part two, like a B-side almost.
So Lily is back in town. The Art Fellowship did not go well, even though she tries to convince everybody that it did. She's living in a crappy little studio apartment that has rats and neighbors that are weird. Like, it's crazy to see how now we get to see Lily's side to the breakup of, she's not willing to really admit to herself yet that she is broken without Marshall, but yet every time she's around anybody, she's asking, how's Marshall, where's Marshall, what's Marshall doing?
Yeah, I mean, it very much shows that even though, you know, we don't really see it on screen too much, this and Swirly are really the two episodes where we see it come out, where she's completely broken without Marshall, but she's trying to keep it up in front of people, and she finally cracks She lets it all flow out when they're all drunk, and Ted describes it as they're getting dangerously close to 1998 Cinco de Mayo Lily. And especially when they go to the diner the next morning, and Ted kind of confronts her on it. Like, well, if you're gonna try and get back with Marshall, you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're gonna stay with him. This it can't be any of this. Maybe you either are or you aren't, because it damn near killed him. Like, you did that.
Like, your actions have severe consequences, and I can't let you do this again. I just can't let
And I mean, this is a recurring thing that comes up the rest of the season, too, several more times, most notably in How Lily Stole Christmas.
Which I can't wait to talk about. I cannot wait to talk about that, because then we get the third part of that equation with Ted. So that kind of leads to so Craig Thomas wrote both of those episodes. Chris Harris helped him on a second one. Episode three, and I promise we're not going to talk about every single episode this season, but these first three really kind of work well together. It's called Brunch, and Ted's parents have come into town, and Ted kind of finds out that his parents don't communicate. They've been divorced for the last, 2 years, something like that. And
closer to three, I think.
Closer to three, I think. She's dating this orthodontist. He did your braces. And, like, they seem totally happy with being separated and everything like that. But we start to see Ted really realize what he wants out of his own relationship with Robin. Is like, I don't want to be the couple that never talks to each other. I want to marry my best friend. I want to marry the person who makes me excited all the time. Robin is meeting the parents for the very first time. It goes really, really well. And then you got Marshall and Lily trying to get back at each other. And Lily has the weirdest fetish in the world. It's calves.
All of these stories, this is the first time that we see them really do the split story. And it's a plot device that works so, so well in the future for How I Met Your Mother. And this being the first episode and it being as good as it is kind of a small miracle. But you have the Marshall and Lily part. You know, his calves. Right. Marshall's calves. You know, well, why'd you have to throw your calves at me? You know you have a punter's leg. And Marshall, like, can't counter. He's like, well, you threw your beautiful boobs at me. You know you have boobs.
But can we appreciate the fact that in that scene, Marshall is wearing the old school zipper shorts?
Oh, it's so bad. It's so tacky.
It's so tacky. I had a pair. I loved them.
For me, the best moment of the entire episode, though, it's so low key, is when they're arguing about who gets what, and they're at brunch, and he's like, you know that YouTube, or she's like, I want the Beatles anthology, and Marshall's like, nope, and you know that YouTube box set I gave you? Look inside, it's all Dave Matthews. Is low key just one of the funniest lines, and I have to think that was improvised.
And that's one of the first times we get the "Oh, you son of a beach!" Lily.
You have Barney trying to impress mom, making Ted's dad his wingman. Oh God, it's so many like classic things of this group, or things that will become classic with this group, wrapped up into one like bottle episode.
I'll see, like, that awkwardness between Ted and his dad of, like, yeah, they're just casually at brunch. He's like, well, did you see that game last night? Real, real barn burner. Yeah, it's like,
he's like, hey, I haven't heard from grandma in a while. And his mom gets up and just leaves. He's like, no. And then that's when his dad's like, oh, you catch the game last night?
Real barn burner. Real barn burner.
Oh, my God. Like, this feels like something my family would do, and I think that's why it bothers me so much. We don't communicate either.
But, like, it's such a good episode of just kind of everybody has an important role to play.
Everyone. Like, yeah.
And I do like the dynamic of Lily and Marshall not together. Like, they hook up in a bathroom, but it's just like they're trying to find out like this identity of as individuals instead of as a couple, but it's so hard when you just have naturally been with somebody for that long to not just want to be like, okay, yeah, cool. We're at a brunch. This is, you know, normally like a brunch like that is couple time. Like you're just showing how much you're in love together and just you're happy. And to not have that dynamic, it's really, I think it's a real test to how Allison and Jason were able, like this is an episode that gives chemistry to them in a way that we haven't seen before, and it works so well. Like, even when they're angry, they're still together.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Let's talk about, oh man, this is one of my favorite episodes ever made. I love this one to death. It's called Swirly.
Swirly, man, I go back and forth on this one. This is the one we referenced last episode where we said that there is a Friends homage. This is where they go to the coffee shop and decide it is not as fun as hanging out in a bar. Not
nearly as much fun as hanging out in a bar.
I definitely agree with that sentiment. But this is... this is the Lily episode. That's what I call it. You know, it's very much she's trying to get Marshall back, and she'll do whatever she has to. She's basically not listening to what Ted told her. She's going to do whatever she has to. She results to stalking Chloe. That's the barista's name, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Chloe. Yeah, I think I put Vicky in the notes, and I
there's so many girlfriends in this show, it's hard to keep them straight. It's just now we're having to keep them straight for Marshall instead of Ted.
Which is completely different than what we're used to.
Right. It's like, I like it. I mean, of course, we all like the resolution to it. The B plot is just really weird on this one. They ended, of course, you know, with the Cheers song.
So the B plot is that Chloe is a barista at whatever coffee hut it is, but yeah. She wrote Barney's name as Swirly, which for some reason Ted just thinks is the greatest thing ever. So like he calls into the bar as Swirls Barkley. He calls into a radio station and says, Barney, you gotta forget about Swirly, and you gotta be yourself. And here is I Am Woman. It's like, all right, whatever. Like I get the inside joke. Like but mm-hmm. they carried that too far. However, Marshall's first date with Chloe is kind of funny. Like,
it's great.
We really find out how bad of a flirt Marshall is, because his whole approach to Chloe is, hey, how'd you get that giant pumpkin in a tiny little cup? And like, he just keeps making the same joke over and over and over again, and she just still finds it funny, which is like, okay, people in love do that, or people who you like, you know, do that. But it's this really cool thing of like, they go on this date, and Lily's been in the apartment the entire time that they're at the apartment. And so she accidentally knocks over a photo, she does all these things, and they keep talking about the crazy scale. How, you know, you look into a girl's eyes, and you can tell if she's crazy or not.
Yeah.
And at the very end, Marshall has this great line where he's like, you are all sorts of crazy all rolled up in one. And like, I love you, Lily. And they finally get back together. And it's a beautiful, beautiful moment.
It's great. But I really like what comes after. More.
Well, then they do go back up to the apartment. And Chloe has basically ransacked the entire place.
She's destroyed the place looking for her keys. That they're right there.
Oh.
That laugh, if you hear somebody laugh like that, that's a crazy laugh. I'm sorry.
Get out. Get out.
If you laugh like that, get out.
It's crazy to think that Chloe would later go on to play Ryan Reynolds' love interest in Deadpool.
Oh my god, is that Marina Baccarin?
Yes, that is.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is. That was one of her very first acting gigs.
Oh my god. Oof, that's rough.
Somebody talk about International Women's Day around there. Okay. Jesus. So Ted has a great line at the end where he goes, you know, in the same spot that I found your Uncle Marshall 3 months ago, I find him again, this time with Lily. And they're back together. And they basically have a conversation of, well, now that we're back together, are we still getting married? Like, I wanna, if you wanna, and then Marshall has to make a big deal about, hey, you know, you gotta propose to me. Like, don't expect me to put out until you see a ring on this finger. Pretty great moment. But that leads us to Atlantic City. In Atlantic City, so as Marshall and Lily have gotten back together, they've also started to realize that, hey, telling all their parents and family and friends that they're back together and now they're getting married is going to be just as awkward as it was for Marshall to tell everybody that the wedding was off. So they tried to basically scoot around it and go get married in Atlantic City. I kind of go back and forth on this episode. What do you think about it?
I like Atlantic City more than Swarley, personally. This episode is a little strange, but it does establish, again, if we're really building towards characteristics of them, this establishes Barney's gambling addiction.
Right.
Which, you know, great. Of course, Atlantic City is going to go on to continue to play a role in the series, most notably before Marshall's son is born. when him and Barney basically go on a bender out there. I like so much of this, but I especially like the wedding on the boat. When the captain accidentally pronounces them when they decide they want a real wedding. And also Ted's obsession with Robin's shirt. The shirt boobs. It's just, God, the things people waste money on in Atlantic City. And we see at the very end, the tag scene at the end is Ted wearing the shirt. And you're like, is Robin here? God, I hope so.
I also love when they're in the city hall or in the, court. And Barney goes, and these two just had sex in the closet. Dude, he's like, we're under oath. No, we're not. He's a judge under oath.
It's so good. So many good one-liners. There's like, they still don't understand how the game that Barney played with the Japanese businessman is played. It's just so weird.
Man, Ted in this episode is just kind of just a fun riot.
Josh Radnor is on fire in this episode.
He just nails everything about it. I love it. I also love like when they're just getting into the casino and they're talking about trying to find something borrowed and something blue, and Barney's like, or Robin's like, I think we found something blue. Wait, is she breathing? Can somebody please check out her? Please, this old lady, she's turning blue. Yeah. So at the very end of the episode, though, Lily kind of just says, yeah, you know what? I do think it's worth it to go through all this. And Lily kind of finally owns her mistake a little bit in the sense of, like, she left Marshall out to dry to make all these big calls and didn't tell anybody about, like, what she was doing, where she was going. One of the best things in there is, like, when Marshall's making the calls and stuff, he goes, well, I don't know how somebody can leave like that. He's like, well, I wouldn't call her that. Jeez, Grandma. And Jesus, like, what do you call somebody who's just ups and leaves? I think that's a little harsh.
Dang. Right.
Great moments there, but nothing perhaps as great as our next episode that we're going to talk about, which is called Slap Bet.
Arguably the best episode of the entire series.
It's episode 9. Courtney Kang wrote it, and I don't know how in God's name do you think to make this episode.
How do you think that conversation with Kobe Smulders went?
Hey, so here's the deal. We're going to turn you were a Canadian pop star when you were a teenager. Oh, and we're going to need to actually put you in a recording booth, and we need you to sing a song about Let's Go All.
And you have to make the music video.
And you have to rap. You have to rap.
The lyrics in this are great. It sets up How I Met Your Mother's absolute best running gag. And man, this episode, when you look back on it, to me, it's not only the best of the season. In my opinion, it is my favorite episode of the entire series.
So Ted tries to... Okay, so at the very beginning of the episode, Barney is trying to get everybody to go to a Sharper Image grand opening.
God, if
we're not in the middle of 2000s right there, like, man, remember when
I felt like, old hearing that.
I live like 10 minutes away from the one that I used to go to when I was a kid, and now it's just a boarded up, you know, building, and I'm like, man, what happened there? It used to be the coolest thing ever. Used to be. So Ted is, or so when Robin discovers this at a mall, she's like, no, I don't go to malls. I don't go to malls. So Ted tries to dig a little bit, and Robin tells him that he got married, that she got married at a mall. Marshall uncovers that no, she never got married at a mall. She's also not great at parking legally either. But finally, Robin gets the confidence to tell Ted that no, I was a Canadian teenage pop star. This whole time, Barney and Marshall have created a bet called a slap bet, where whoever is right gets to slap the other one in the face as hard as they can. Lily is named the slap bet commissioner, a title she will take to the grave.
Loving wife, mother, slap bet commissioner. It's great. You look at the jokes that come out of this. I mean, so for example, like, Marshall gets the first slap on Barney. And Barney's like, oh, God, your hand is monstrous. Well, you should know that. You've seen my penis. And he just says it so matter-of-factly. And then, you know, Barney is, of course, he thinks it's porn. And, you know, if I have to see one more flat-chested Nova Scotian riding a Mountie on the back of a Zamboni, I'm going to go out of my mind. And it's just all these things. And then, you know, he smacks Marshall like three, smacks him three times real fast. And it's already slap o'clock. And Marshall's just, he's like crying. He doesn't want to get hit anymore. And then that's when they see the video for real. Like, it will be up and running on MySpace is an actual line set in this episode.
Again, nothing dates me more. But yeah, it will be up and running on MySpace in, oh, T-minus 2 minutes. And, like, it starts out, and yeah, you think it's porn.
Oh, it's a veritable pornucopia.
It's a veritable cornucopia. And then Robin goes, well, no, I wish it was porn. It'd be less embarrassing.
And then when she hits play, it is the single funniest moment of the entire series. Because it's not what you were expecting. At all. Anybody who says they saw this coming is out of their minds.
Fun fact, they held off from telling the rest of the cast until the scene.
That's incredible.
That is their genuine reaction. Again, Carter Bays was talking about it at the Paley Center panel they did a few years ago, where he's like, we had made that music video like in the summer leading up. Too. So like we had like, I think they called Kobe into work like a month before everybody else did. They had filmed that music video, they recorded the song, they did all that. He's like, so then we go into season two and we're prepping everything, and he's like, how great would it be if we just didn't tell the cast like what this was about? We literally just hit play on a laptop and we see what happens. And that's exactly what they did. And like that first reaction is 100% genuine.
When they just stare at her in unison. I had to go around Canada singing this song in malls. For an entire year, I lived off of Orange Julius's and Wetzel's pretzels. But I thought you said this happened when you were a teenager. The 80s didn't come to Canada until the late 90s. There's just so many great one-off lines in this. And like every time something else happens, you see somebody from the cast is calling attention to the laptop. Like, Robin's rapping. And then, of course,
with the Bob and a couple of friends had a whole week's allowance to spend. I also love that now TikTok is taking off with it. I sent you a video last night.
Dude, I love the rapping part. I love when she's singing about Wayne Gretzky. Like, there's so many things that, like, makes sense if you understand what they're from in this, which makes it even greater. Like, it's even better when you go back and rewatch it once you understand the references. You're laughing even harder. The dancing robot, of course, becomes a mainstay in her music videos. But you get the actual slap bet, the slap bet that we know and love on this show. You can either get 10 slaps right now or 5 that can be doled out anytime from now to eternity. Ted is the only one who says you should take the 10 right now, because the constant fear of knowing that one could come at any moment would be petrifying. And everyone's like, oh, that's a good call, Barney. Horrible call. I would have taken the 10 right away.
Yeah, because the psychological fear of at any moment you could be slapped is just, man, it's a lot.
It's not great. It's really bad, actually. So should we rank the slaps at some point, too?
You know what? Let's do it now. Because, I mean, we're really only going to talk about... Yeah, let's rank them all right now. Let's rank them all right now. So slaps happened. We were originally slated for 5. We would end up with a total of, what, 7?
Eight, I believe.
Eight, yes. 8 slaps. Okay. So, first slap happens right at the end of this episode.
Yep. The second one happens in Stuff.
It does happen in Stuff. And then we get Slapsgiving.
Slapsgiving 2, Revenge of the Slap.
Then we get the Ducky Tie?
Yes.
And that's when we gain, or no, yeah, then we gain 2 more slaps after that one, or yes. 3 more slaps after that.
Three.
Yeah, three slaps. Why can't I think? Hold on, I can find all this. Okay, you know what? Yeah. Let's rank them as they come up.
Slaps him twice in the Ducky Tie.
He does. We do get a whole episode basically dedicated to a slap where Marshall goes and trains with all these different...
Yeah, Slapsgiving 3, and then the last one is in the penultimate episode.
Yep. Also, shout out to Boys to Men for, man, just absolutely nailing a song about slaps. We'll talk about that when it comes up in season 3, though. Yeah, so slap, just one of the all-time great episodes. Again, I have to ask, like, where did these two ideas come from? Like, where did Slapback come from? Where did this Robin Sparkles idea come from? Like, these are things that make this show so unique that nobody else has it.
Yeah, man, you really have to wonder, like, what is wrong with you to come up with this? I don't know. And I mean, they absolutely innovate on the Robin Sparkles joke every time that it comes around too. It's different every single time. It's never the same thing, which is refreshing because a lot of times in a gag like this, like, oh, it's going to be the same thing, but both with Robin Sparkles and the slap bet, every single one of them feels unique. And I think that's something, especially in a sitcom that goes on for nine seasons, that's something really special. Like, most gags get worn out, but the fact that you almost never know when these two things are coming makes it even better.
It just times it so well, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we know... And, like, the fact that, like, they even do it as a way to, like, get an evil Marshall ad, like, when he sends Barney a link to slapcountdown.com.
I love it.
So good. Hey, buddy. Sent you a little email. Check it out. Yeah. Pretty great. Let's go to our next episode, and that is How Lily Stole Christmas. A rift forms between Lily and Ted after they find an old answering machine message where Ted badmouths Lily after she left Marshall. He calls her, like, kids.
Rich.
I didn't say that.
So, I mean, you can infer what he called her. Again, great. We see Ted's cousin Stacy in this episode, who we've heard about in the past. Right. Ted describes her basically, she had 6 kids in 5 years. The woman's basically a ride at a water park, is how he phrases it in Brunch to Robin. You know, his mom wants, you know, is asking when him and his girlfriends are going to have kids and things like that. And then we find out that she's super duper religious, which is another really, really funny layer to this. Well, that's fine. We'll just give all those presents to charity, Ted. And the girl is so excited. She goes, no, not you. The less fortunate. And it's like, oh my God, like, these people are horrible.
They're awful. But more importantly, though, too, Lily finally gets to have a fight with Ted. Like, Ted has had to take care of Marshall and get him back on his feet. And he never got to yell. He never got to say anything bad. He just had to be there and supportive. And because, you know, Robin's Lily's best friend, he had to be supportive of her when she came back. And he never had the opportunity to share those emotions that he felt.
Well, because
now he does.
Lily didn't just leave Marshall. she left Ted. I mean, they've been best friends since the first day of college. It's not just a one-sided friendship of, oh, it's just Marshall and Ted, and, oh, Lily's there occasionally. Like, no, Lily, she fucking lives with them. Like, she's been a part of his life for 9 years, the same as Marshall has. And, you know, yeah, Ted and Marshall would have been friends without Lily, but would Lily have been friends with them without Marshall? And the answer is no.
Straight up no. Absolutely not.
And this is something we keep coming back to, though, is the depth of Ted and Lily's friendship. The further that the show goes on, you realize that, like, she really is Ted's best female friend. Regardless of his standing with Robin, you know, the ups and downs, Lily is his best friend. Girlfriend, that is.
Yeah, I mean, Marshall's the best, and then, you know, you got Barney has his moments, too. I absolutely love this episode. I think it's a great testament to what happened, like the bigger ramifications of when you break up with somebody and then you never apologize, you never say sorry. Like, there has to be, and this is an issue I have with Lily a lot, is that Lily has this just kind of, what's the best way to describe this? She kind of just thinks that she's the greatest thing ever. Like the privilege is real with her.
Right.
She doesn't think she makes a lot of mistakes. She's constantly judging other people. She fails to see her own mistakes. So there's this stuck upness that kind of just comes with her. And this is kind of a moment that kind of kicks her on her butt and says, okay,
this is the comeuppance.
Yeah.
Like, after she's already had her moment to lord over everybody in Aldrin Justice earlier this season, this is the moment where Lily kind of has a second reckoning almost. You know, she's already had to make amends with Marshall, and, you know, like, of course, her and Robin, you know, were perfectly fine after, you know, the first episode she was back, her and Barney, obviously. Ted's the one person that it was never really solved with, and you can kind of feel that in the undercurrent of their relationship for the first half of the season. And this marks a turning point, not just for their relationship this season, but for the rest of the series. And she's the only person when he goes to move to Chicago, he doesn't even tell Marshall. He tells her.
Yeah. It's only her to start. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, everybody else finds out. But yeah, right. Like, these two have just an unspoken, just awesome friendship. Like, you may not always see it, but, like, they're very much intertwined together in some very, very real ways. Next episode we're going to talk about is another good one. This one's episode 16. It's called Stuff. This is an argument I've had with a few different exes, too, is Robin's upset when she learns how much of Ted's stuff came from his exes. And then Barney gets revenge on Lily for making him see her bad play by putting on a play of his own. The B plot in this, couldn't care less about. The A plot, though, is really, really good. Like, what do you do when you break up with somebody? Do you get rid of their stuff? Do you keep it? Like, I've got a couple hoodies that exes gave me. I've got a blanket that an ex-fiance gave me. Like, what do you do with that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what the show is so good at doing, is making you consider, like, this isn't just happening to those characters. Like, these are real questions that all of us are going to face at some point. You know, or most of us, at least, in the case of stuff. And I think that's, I don't know, like, it's weird because, like, that's something that I think couples avoid talking about initially. And then, kind of like how Ted and Robin do, like, it eventually comes up, like, where'd you even get this from? And then you remember, and it's like, well, do you be truthful about it, or do you try and lie about it like a little bitch? And let me tell you, lying about it always makes it worse. Always. 100% makes it worse. I've got some stuff in the apartment that is, you know, from exes, and those were very frank conversations to have. Like, right. 3 years ago, but those were ones we didn't even have until we moved in. Again, when we moved in together, that's when we had those conversations. But I don't know. I think the way that this handles it, especially when you look at how the rest of the season plays out, it feels like a lot to cram into one episode.
A lot in this episode. Yeah.
I always get this one and Moving Day blend together for me. And not in the
kind
good
of way. Yeah. And that's exactly right. Is like, not in a great way, but it happens. It's not Like, moving day is that extenuation where, like, so I think I put in the note that, I put in the note for this one, is that moving day is the beginning of the end for Robin and Ted. But, like, reflection, though, really stuff is.
And I think the kicker for it is at the very end of stuff when Robin has gotten rid of her dogs. Yep. That's the big one. And also, like, that's just a... That is something that clearly only would ever happen on television, by the way. Getting that many dogs from your exes. But...
Ironically, though, like, I have an ex who she's gotten a dog with every guy she's been with.
That's so weird.
It is. It is very weird. When we were dating, it was the, oh my gosh, this is like our first real test and it could be our little family.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was a weird 2 weeks.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
This is a weird one for me. I don't really like this one. I don't like the B plot. I don't like the A plot really, but it is important for the overall series. Like you said, this really is the beginning of the end. Like, if you didn't already see the writing on the wall in Lucky Penny, I think this definitely does it.
Both these episodes are great, though. I mean, this is where the show does a great job of, it hits you with a message, it hits you with something that you need to think about, and how can you apply this in your own life?
It's an oddly serious episode for this early in the run.
That's very true. Very, very true.
Yeah, you know, because at this point, we're still like, they're in their late 20s. Everything's like really goofy. Like, it's funny. Like, it's going to end with them all laughing at the bar. And this isn't one of those episodes. This is an episode where Ted and Robin are mad at each other at the end. And in her case, I think justifiably so. You know, she just got rid of all her dogs and Ted ended up keeping all this shit.
This is, the beginning of the end. And moving days just kind of within that all as well. There's a couple episodes that we're not going to like do deep dives into. First Time in New York is a great one.
Love it.
It's when Robin's sister visits New York. And it's also the first time Robin says, I love you to Ted.
It's a big moment. I think it's a big moment for the series, not just for Ted and Robin, the stuff that they take. You know, like her whole thing in the cold open of, you know, there's a moment when you think you know. There's a moment when you know, but you just can't say it. There's a moment when you want to say it and you can't. And then it comes out as falafel. But also, we get the gang's perspective. You know, we hear about how everybody lost their virginity. You know, that Barney has not always been a playboy. That it's actually something that's happened in the last handful of years. That, you know, his first time was with his mom's drunk friend, Rhonda. And for 2 weeks, my comforter smelled like menthol lights and cigarettes.
And we're going to get Rhonda in an episode.
You are going to get, we're going to get Rhonda next season. And it's like, you look at this and I like how it not only breaks down like, okay, everybody's first time because, you know, she wants to do it with Kyle. And even Kyle gets to do that. But, which, I mean, come on, it's butt stuff. Like, let's be honest. That's exactly what it is. But you also get their perspective on relationships, which is something we haven't gotten with a lot of the characters up to this point. And like, how do they value like those times? Like, how do they? And it kind of shows like why they're the way that they are. Like, you know, we see the invert. Ted, you know, lies to everybody, but tells the truth to Katie. Or is it reversed? Oh no, it's reversed. It's reversed. He lies to Katie, tells the truth to Robin, and it's a really touching moment. I'm really sad that we didn't get more of Katie in this series. I think that was, it's kind of like Ted's sister. Like, they show up once and that's it.
Well, and Ted's sister is really cool though too. I mean, I really enjoyed her episode.
I mean, I would sell a TV and a couch for tickets to Spain to go see Nine Inch Nails personally. Yeah.
Another great episode that we're not going to dive a ton into is Very Darcy for Fierro. How a car can really help the relationships of everybody. We find out one of the best stories about Ted and Marshall. How they were driving home, or driving back to campus one day, and a snowstorm hits. They end up getting stranded. They cuddle, supposedly. Mm-hmm. That's all they did.
Right in front of a hotel, too.
Right in front of a hotel. I love
you,
the callback.
You two love birds better keep on moving.
I love the callback in The Wedding Bride to this. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. So good. And then another one that we got to talk about is Showdown. Barney has been told by his mom that Bob Barker was his dad. And so Barney plans to go on to The Price is Right and tell Bob Barker that it's him, it's his son, and he's there.
Yeah.
Barney goes and absolutely crushes The Price is Right, wins all the prizes, gives a lot of great weddings to Marshall and Lily. And then, yeah, he didn't end up telling Bob that he was his dad. So,
there. Yeah, it's, you kind of see, like, I mean, again, it's another one of those running jokes, but you kind of see, like, Barney knows that Bob Barker isn't, but he doesn't want to admit it to Bob because he doesn't want to get rejected again. Yeah. I mean, we see Barney, we kind of get this implication, you know, in Single Stamina and in First Time in New York, where Barney has abandonment issues. He's afraid people are going to leave him. And then we're going to get that in the final episode of the season, too, when we find out the truth behind, well, not the final episode, but in Bachelor Party, you find out that he's the part of the reason that Marshall and Lily got back together.
He went and, you know, said what he had to say to Lily and got her to stay, come back. And it's like Barney realizes what he has with this group. And doesn't ever want to ruin that. But at the same time, though, too, he's going through a lot. He's trying to figure out identity issues within himself. Of like, you know, the whole reason he is who he is built out of revenge for some dude who stole his girlfriend when he was, you know, a hippie making coffee.
Yeah. Barney, he deals with this through the rest of the show. I mean, he's still dealing with it into the finale. You know, his abandonment and his rejection issues, like even getting married to Robin doesn't solve that. Arguably, it makes it worse. And it's just, it's, we talk so much about how, like, this is a foundational season, and this is really why, like, you're getting these main beats that are going to carry these characters through the rest of the show. You know, we talk about the relationship between Ted and Robin, between Marshall and Lily, between Ted and Lily, Ted and Marshall, Robin and Lily. Barney's been off doing his own thing, but this is really the season where we see him get more incorporated into that main four. And not just his relationships with these characters, but how he deals with his own problems with his family. We meet his brother for the first time. You know, we meet Wayne Brady as his brother, which is just hilarious.
Brilliant casting.
You're not expecting it. They warn Robin, you know, hey, just, you know, we don't want to be worried. You know, James is gay. And then he walks in and she's like, thanks for the heads up, because you're not expecting it. You know, like how him and Barney are almost exactly the same, except, you know, he's gay. Barney's not. It's a whole play on it, but, you know, he's settling down and getting married. And Barney feels betrayed. And it's just, it's a cascading thing throughout the whole season, whether we realize it or not. You know, it stretches all the way back to the first episode of the season. And then it resolves itself in Bachelor Party after he's ruined Marshall's night. And, you know, not to dwell on it, but, you know, then we find out the truth behind Lily coming back.
So this is a really good season, man. It's a really good season. We're going to end on two episodes that are just two peas in a pod. And it annoys the heck out of me that they didn't air these two together on one night.
Yeah, this is really weird because it's very much, again, a 1A, 1B situation.
Something Borrowed and Something Blue. Something Borrowed is episode 21 in the season, released on May 7th. And Something Blue is episode 22. It was released on May 14th, 2007. Something Borrowed, we got Marshall and Lily are about to get married, but the wedding is becoming one disaster after another. Ted is like the worst best man in the world because Marshall's panicking about his hair. And so Marshall gets, Cool Guy Tips is how she like phrases it.
Mm-hmm.
He gets frosted tips from Lily's cousin, who's the hairdresser. He gets so mad that he ends up shaving a giant chunk of hair off in the middle of his head. So that he have to come up with all these funny solutions to try to cover the head instead of, you know, a hat, which would have been a lot easier to do than, you know, the other ways they thought. And then meanwhile, everything else is going wrong. The harp player is pregnant. She could give birth any second now. Photographer's not going to be there. And Scooter randomly shows up, confesses his love for Lily. It's a disaster. But in the midst of the chaos, they find a little bit of peace at a little outdoor ceremony that they have where it's just Robin, Ted, Marshall, Lily, and Barney. Barney's the minister. And they quietly get married underneath a big elk tree. It's kind of a beautiful wedding. And then the actual wedding happens is something blue. Something blue, we find out that Robin and Ted broke up. Robin and Ted have broken up.
This
whole season.
Yeah, this is, for me, this is the more impactful of the two. I mean, yeah, Marshall and Lily getting married. Okay, whoop de freaking do. Like, it would have had more of an impact if they had held off on it for, like, another season, maybe. Because it feels like they resolved the whole plotline of Lily leaving way too easily. Way too easily. Like, Marshall would have a lot of underlying psychological issues from that. I know I personally would. You know, the whole, we almost eloped in Atlantic City deal. And, like we said, they just kind of, like, put that whole plotline on the back burner and, like, quietly resolve it a couple episodes before this, which feels very strange and out of touch for how right. I Met Your Mother, like, considering how long they let some plotlines go on way too long. And I think they were afraid of doing that with this. But it's like, well, with this one, I think you should have done. I mean, look at the slow burn in The Office for Jim and Pam. The slow burn for Leslie and Ben. For really, just look at any show that Mike Schur has worked on. Look at the slow burn romances there. I mean, hell, even in Big Bang, you know, with Leonard and Penny, with, you know, Sheldon and Amy and them. Like, I think it gets rushed here, and because of that, like, and we're still so new to these characters. We're in season two. It's like, oh. Okay, like, yeah, that makes sense, like, for them to have their little wedding outside, and then the real wedding happens, but it's what happens at the reception in true How I Met Your Mother fashion that is what matters. And Barney is quietly devastated by Ted and Robin's breakup. He admits to Ted that even though he's against marriage, you know, he always thought they were good for each other, and that, you know, he would have supported them. They're his friends. He would have supported it, and, you know, it ends with, I think, one of the great endings to a season. You know, legend, wait for it.
And then that's it. We're going to have to wait the summer, and then we're going to come back, and then we might be able to find out what happened there. I mean, it's how they build up to them eventually saying, yeah, they broke up. Because they
it really recaps the last third of the season from their perspective.
And it's a really great look at it, too. I'm genuinely impressed by it. I mean, I think it's a great thing, but it also, I think there's a great moment at the end when Barney and Ted are smoking cigars outside at the balcony, and Barney goes, you know, it could be rough out there. Do you think maybe you could possibly use a wingman? He's like, well, I think I could. And you see the bros are back, and, like, when you're going through those hard times, having a bro next to you that entire time is how you get out of those rough moments.
For sure.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is season two of How I Met Your Mother. We will be back next week for season three. Josh, people can find you on Tower Casuals on Thursdays, but where else can they find you?
Twitter and Twitch, @Josh_Finn with two N's.
Dude, check it out. He's doing a lot of great stuff over there. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week. Be sure to check out Land Party on Wednesday. And Trash Talk Season 3 is back. New episode on Friday. We're talking more MLB and Tatis Jr. All that good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, for Josh, I'm Logan. Peace out.